Let's go down the road in London. Pam Colleen joins us right now. How are you, Pam?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. We weren't going to talk about it, but I just want your comment on Paul McCartney is telling the crew on his show, I guess because he's paying the bills, he can order the meals. But I don't know about this in terms of, it's going to be a vegan meal. I think a lot of workers are bringing in their own meals that week.
I would hope that they do, so they don't starve their brains or dysregulate their blood sugar, and that they stay in a good mood during the concert. I know that his, unfortunately, you know, very tragic death of Linda McCartney, his first wife, she was a very strong proponent of a vegetarian diet. And obviously he's maintained that belief, but really what he's promoting is a belief system. It's really not something that's based on health or a healthy biochemistry. So he really, I think, is doing a great disservice to his employees by enforcing this diet on them during his concerts. I hope that they bring in their own food because it's not healthy. No matter how they try to portray a vegan diet, it's not healthy. It's never been healthy. A vegan diet was essentially first created because they wanted to kill people's libido. That's why that was the history of the vegan diet. So I suppose if people don't want to have a libido, they can eat a vegan diet. But it's I don't know anybody who doesn't want to have a libido.
One of the things that I have started to think about in terms of, or I haven't started to think about, but reflect on diets is, and I think you have really helped me think about the negative consequences in terms of, A, when we think about a diet only in terms of losing weight, and B, when we put our, as much as our second brain is in our gut, when we start to focus on what's good for our intestine, but not what's good for our brain. Like the organ we have to nourish and feed, number one, is the brain. And people, I mean, forget that. They're so fascinated, I mean, by, I got to lose this amount of weight, or I have to make sure I'm regular, or something. Like, that's the focus of your diet. I'm like, what about your brain? What about your moods? What about your hormone system? That's what makes our body run. That's what we should be focusing on. Instead, we focus on the totally wrong things.
That's right. And we are removing the foods from our diet that actually maintain a healthy weight. So prevailing in the media is that we're supposed to be eating this high carbohydrate, low fat diet, and somehow that is supposed to lead to health. When we've been following that diet now for over 40 years, what do we see around us? We see nothing but sickness. We see bad moods. We see a lot of problems in society. And we see now that, of course, our healthcare system is going to bankrupt our province because of this misinformation in diet. So Paul McCartney is promoting a very, very high carbohydrate, no fat diet, because we know that the word low fat implies low animal fat. Paul McCartney is promoting a no-fat diet, which means a diet with no animal fat in it. We've seen the destructiveness of a low-fat diet now for 40 years. Some people, sadly, and unfortunately I fell into this mistake as well, is to avoid animal fats altogether. And that's when you're going to see even more health problems, is when you don't eat any animal fat at all. So what we have to do is we have to go back in history to see what indeed entails a healthy diet. And we know that before World War II, when we ate about 70% of our calories from animal fat, that we were actually pretty healthy back then, not only mentally but physically, and we didn't have much of an overweight or obesity problem. So the answer is glaring at us. You know, it's a very obvious answer to the problem. The trouble is that we have been so wrongly informed now for so many decades, and this belief system that a high carbohydrate, low fat diet is healthy, we're so brainwashed to believe that it's very, very difficult to get people to think otherwise. I'm really grateful to come on air and talk about these things, but I still know that a lot of your listeners don't believe me.
The other thing is, when we start to put carbohydrates in their rightful place, that there is no nutritional value to a carbohydrate, whether it is a simple sugar or a long chain starch, it's all the same thing. All your body uses carbs for is energy. That's it.
And we don't have any essential daily requirement for a carbohydrate. So let's use a little common sense here, right?
I mean, every cell is comprised of fats and proteins.
Right. We have daily essential requirements for fat. We have daily essential requirements for protein, but we do not have any daily essential requirements for a carbohydrate. So theoretically, we could probably go our entire lives without eating carbohydrates, and we would probably be just fine. I'm not saying no carbohydrates in the diet, by the way, but I just think we have just been indulging too much over the last, say, 40 years or so.
And as we substitute out carbohydrates, or as we substitute in carbohydrates, as we take out fat, for instance, a great example, 0% yogurt, 0% fat in yogurt, your body has an off switch, as you often put, in satiety. There are hormones and regulations within our body beyond just our stomach having a volume filled up, that our body, after a certain amount of ingestion of fats and protein, says, that's enough. We're done. Don't need to eat anymore. Mm-hmm. Carbs has no off switch. So when you're eating 0% yogurt, for instance, with all the flavor has been taken out of fat, so they have to add it back in with carbohydrates, you will eat so much more than you would if you had a good, strong, natural, high-fat yogurt, whatever the percentage is, I don't know, 8%, 10%, whatever it is, and you'd be like,
It's so much more satisfying. I tell my clients, you know, the higher the fat content in your food, the better. And that includes dairy products. And of course, the dairy industry now for many decades has made out like bandits on this low-fat lie, because they know that the more they separate dairy products, the more money they make. So if you buy low-fat, no-fat dairy products, that has just been done for profit. It has absolutely nothing to do with your health whatsoever.
And people will be like, oh, but if I eat fat, I'll get fat.
But that's a myth.
Exactly. As we can see across North America, the more we've promoted this low fat, no fat, and the amount of calories from fat has declined steadily since the 1970s over a broad population range. Over decades, we've seen a decline in calories consumed from fat. We've also seen a rise in obesity rates that were fatter, that were sicker, and that were a little more unstable as well. That it's just not doing not our bodies any good, but certainly not our brains.
That's right.
11:45 is our time. Pardon me, 12:45 is our time. Now, when we come back, you turned me on to this interesting program, The Men Who Made Us Fat. But there's a new BBC series called The Men Who Made Us Thin. Oh, wait a second. So The Men Who Made Us Thin. So tell me about this new program on the BBC when we come back. So The Men Who Made Us Fat, and they also made the series The Men Who Made Us Thin. There's no winning, Pam. Can't be fat, can't be thin. We'll talk about that when we get back. It's 45 minutes after 12 o'clock. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant from London, joining us. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. There's a lonely day, no one here but me. Oh. My loneliness. 12:50 is our time. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant from London, Ontario, joining us on the program. Pam, you turned me on to a program that was fascinating, The Men Who Made Us Fat, how the food industry changed and all they added and what they did to the foods and the processed foods. I mean, it made us fat, as well as, you know, proponents of, oh, you got to eat more carbs and cut back on the fats and you'll be fine. It's like it did the work. It did the opposite of what it should have.
Absolutely.
The Men Who Made Us Fat. Now, by the guys who produced The Men Who Made Us Fat is The Men Who Made Us Thin, about the weight loss industry, which looks to be fascinating.
It is very interesting. I've only seen the first part. It's a series, and I think the second part is airing tonight over in England, so perhaps tomorrow it'll be on YouTube. I don't know. But essentially, he's dissecting the weight loss industry. So the first part is about the diet segment. The second part is about exercise. And the third part is about big pharma and how they take advantage of this obesity or overweight epidemic that we're seeing today. And, of course, it began essentially post-World War II with the promotion of a high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet. There's so much more to overweight than just looking at diet. Now that so many of us have fallen into this fad diet, it has basically dysregulated our hormones and caused all sorts of other problems in our body. So it becomes very, very difficult to control our weight, whether or not we're eating the perfect diet, whether or not we're exercising, or whether or not we're taking drugs. There's so much more to weight control than what we're hearing about. But the host of the show, Jacques Peretti, has done a nice job in terms of exposing the fact, in the first part anyway, that these diets, these fad diets, are really not working. And he's done a huge amount of investigation into this issue. And if you look at the bottom line of the first episode, he's basically saying that these diets are not working. I think it's 86% of the time they're failing people. And it even gets worse than that when he starts digging down into the numbers even more. So this whole industry is a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and it's failing us. So our eye is off the target very, very clearly, that we are being misled into turning to these modalities to control our weight. There is so much more to the story. And I'm glad he's uncovering this, because I don't want people to be duped into spending lots of money on a lot of these gimmicks out there. I want people to start using common sense when it comes to weight control, because I think that's really where it comes down to. When we ate 3 square meals a day, we actually were healthy and we had good weights. That was before World War II. We need to go back to that common sense eating, 3 square meals a day. But I'm a heretic for saying that, Tom.
One of the interesting things as well, and we see commercials for it. I mean, we run commercials for it. But if you watched a commercial on television for whatever diet it is, and you see this person, and it's like, I lost 65 pounds. And they just look like an average person. All right. And as you said, for, let's say 86%, it doesn't fail. But for 14%, it may work. So for a small percentage who are able to take it off and keep it off, it works. So then we have to look at, you know, why it doesn't work and why these people rebound. But as well, I mean, when he points out that a company like, for instance, Weight Watchers makes a lot of money on customer failure because it worked once, but you couldn't keep it off. But this time it'll be different, or the next time it'll be different, that the repeat customer, something we see, the dirty side of the gambling business is that there are people who are gambling addicts who present. I mean, we talk about this a lot down in Niagara because of the casinos, where a lot of the revenue comes from people who are problem gamblers. A lot of the revenue that these companies get are from, I'll call them problem dieters.
That's right. They talk about the addictive element of dieting itself. It's really quite fascinating. And, you know, people get a hit. They get some results.
I've seen change in my body. Look at this. I'm losing the weight I wanted to. And then when it fails again, it must have been something they did. It couldn't have been the diet.
That's exactly it. That's the way the industry promoters are portraying it. That is their fault. It's not the industry's fault. It's their fault, which is not the case, of course. So a lot of the people are walking around feeling shame because they think they did something wrong. But really, it's not the individual. It's the fault of the diet. There's a wonderful TED Talks presentation with Dr. Peter Attia, and he has teamed up with Gary Taubes, and of course, they're researching the benefits of animal fat. And I can't encourage people enough to watch this 20-minute video with Dr. Attia, because he literally breaks down in tears in this video, saying to the world, essentially, that as a medical doctor about 4 or 5 years ago, before he learned about the benefits of animal fat, he actually judged poorly one of his patients. He saw an obese patient come in to, I think, the emergency ward, is how he describes it, and she was obese, and he automatically judged her as being lazy and undisciplined, and that she was to be blamed for her obesity problem. So he negatively judged her while she was going through a health crisis. And then he ended up going through his own health crisis and discovering the truth about animal fat, turned his life around, and basically lamented before the whole world, saying, I'm really sorry to this woman for judging her about her obesity. It wasn't her fault. It was the fault of the system, that the system failed her because she hadn't been given the correct nutritional information.
That we think, oh, I'll follow this advice, this is what I have to do, and then our body doesn't respond the way it's portrayed, or the body doesn't respond in the way we think it should. Well, that, I mean, if you don't eat fat, you won't get fat. And it's like, it's not quite that easy. It's not quite that simple. And I think, you know, oftentimes when we talk about, oh, the system failed or whatever, we are just starting to understand now how our body starts to operate. We have a much better understanding now, but we're still clinging to old ideas. And again, almost like the addict, where we're thinking of, is it a medical problem? Because a lot of us don't think of it as a moral failing. You're of weak character if you're an addict. You're of weak character if you're overweight. You are not the strongest person, and you deserve it. And that's the attitude we're trying to change.
We have to change that attitude if we're going to basically stop our province from going bankrupt. There's no question about it. But we need to have more truthful information out there about nutrition and about health overall. And that's not what we're getting, especially from the media, the universities, and our government.
Pam Killeen, her website is pamkilleen.com, K-I-L-L-E-E-N.com, pamkilleen.com. Always a pleasure, Pam.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll talk again soon. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
12:58 is our time. This is the News Talk 610 CKTB. News is next. And then the Jim Fanna Hour here on 610 CKTB.